At that moment, I was trying to figure out, I was gonna hit him, and I was gonna catch him right in the button, I was gonna knock him out, but I was really trying to figure out if I was gonna push him out of the truck while I was still going down the road, or if I was just gonna sit there, if I was gonna pull over and then push him out of the truck.
Are you at a place in life where you want to start over but don't know how? Be encouraged. God has your answer. Let today's message with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland open your heart to a love that will change your life forever. Next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Resurrection Day.
Yay.
Hallelujah. This day... You know, in Friday's broadcast, we went through that whole scope of Jesus quoting scripture said the way Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be. And this is a sign. So it had to be exactly like that. 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, the way Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. Now, it's just that way. Well, you can't do that and start on Friday. It don't work. And the scripture says that the preparation day that for the feast that was coming was a high Sabbath, which began on Wednesday. So Jesus was raised and Peter, preaching at Cornelius' house, said God raised him up the third day. So that, and we see in the early morning hours, the ending of the Sabbath dawning on the first day of the week, when they got to that grave, he was gone. So what happened? What is so significant about this? You can't know until you understand what happened in that 3 days and nights in the heart of the earth, in hell itself. There was a man, I was teaching this and going through this in a church that you and I were in way back there. Years and years ago up in the Panhandle, Texas. And I took through the scriptures on all that. And there was a group of people in that meeting. We were having our meeting in a little storefront downtown, a little abandoned store downtown that we'd rented for, we were there, I think, 3 weeks. And so I was going through all of this. What happened from the cross to the throne? That's important.
Yes, it is.
And I was going through all that. And so somebody went and told her pastor about it. Well, he was a guy that had been a truck driver, and he's an alcoholic, and he, I don't know.
He's been an alcoholic.
Yeah, he's a street runner, you know, and everything else. He's just an old truck driving old buddy boy. And he got saved and delivered and went back to school, and God made a pastor out of him. And somebody told him, I said, Jesus went to hell, and it made him mad. There ain't no way some righteous man gonna go to hell. Well, not only that, whole bunch of the people in his church got baptized in the Holy Ghost over in that little storefront. And I was preaching one night, and here he came right down the center aisle, and he's big man. And when he came in there, man, I saw him coming, and I just turned in and I said, well, Lord, here he comes. I didn't know who he was. I just knew he's after me.
And he didn't look so happy.
No, he was not happy. And I was standing on a platform that was about this high, and I still wasn't tall as him. And here he come, man. He's coming down that aisle, you know. And he got down there. And just as he got up in front of me, Jesus baptized him in the Holy Ghost. Oh, man. And every time he'd point at me and start to say something, he'd say it in tongues. And he was just, and he just kind of turned around and walked out. Well, later, he came back and testified then in front of the meeting, and he said he went back to his sanctuary and went into the, he was Methodist pastor, and he went in the sanctuary down front and just fell on his knees and began to pray in the Spirit. And he said, Copeland, I just prayed my insides out, just praising, worshiping the God that had set me free and delivered me from all of the my hard life. And he said, I finally, for the first time, I could get it out. And he said, I finally just kind of stopped. And he said, I said, Jesus, did you go to hell? And he said, just like that, the Lord said, yes, I did. And I'll tell you this, big boy, if I hadn't, you would have. He said, that's settled that. Well, then he got back into Scripture and he found out where it was in there. So let's talk about this today, because this is so important of what happened from the cross. Jesus turned his body loose and allowed it to die, turned his spirit over, and was released for God to turn his back on that sin. Not that he committed. He never committed a sin.
No.
But he took ours. He took Adam's sin is whose it was. He took Adam's sin, and of course all of ours was involved in that. He went in. There's two regions of hell, and he described
took the
it.
Curse, didn't he?
Yes, he bore the curse. He took it to hell and defeated it there. Now, there was two compartments in hell at that time. Jesus said himself, no man's gone into heaven. Up to heaven. Now, you remember when Lazarus died and the rich man died and the angels carried Lazarus into the bosom of Abraham, carried the rich man into hell. That bosom of Abraham, if you'll study that out, was the upper region of Sheol. It was a protected place for those that had died in faith, not yet seeing the redemption. They were protected there.
It's a holding place.
Yeah, and there was water there. They were taken care of there. And then what Lazarus lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham said, Father Abraham, he recognized him. Mm-hmm. But that Father Abraham, send Lazarus to put water on my tongue. I'm burning in these flames. He said, there's a great gulf fixed between us. He can't come there and you can't come
That's
here.
Right.
Now, Jesus didn't stop off in that area called paradise. He deposited that thief there that was on that other cross. He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. He went into the bosom of Abraham. Jesus bridged, he didn't stop there. He bore our sins,
yes,
our sin nature. And he went into the lower parts of that. Now let's go over here to the book of Acts, and we'll read it in Acts chapter 2. And look, let's start reading with the 25th verse. For David speaks, now let's read 24, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death. There wasn't any pain in that upper region there, in the bosom of Abraham. He loosed him from the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speak concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. He is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, my tongue was glad, moreover my flesh did rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou hast made me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried and so forth. Now it says, he was speaking of whom God hath raised up, having loosed from the pains of death. He will not leave my soul in hell. Now, run your references on this, because there are many more references to it. Now, today, we need to talk about how this affects us. What did he do there? Let's go over to the book of Colossians, chapter 2. Let's begin reading with verse 13. You, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, has he made alive together with him. He's talking about when he raised him up from the dead. Jesus was actually born again. He was made to be sin. He who knew no sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin, never committed to sin, did not know sin. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now let me ask you something, Gloria, and you too. Did we ever commit any righteousness? No, we committed sin.
That's right.
Did he ever commit sin?
No.
No, he committed righteousness.
That's right.
So he took our sins so that we could have his righteousness. Now, how did he take our sins? By faith, he bore them. He didn't commit them. He bore them by faith.
He was made.
How did we get to be made the righteousness of God in him? We didn't commit righteousness. We received it by faith.
That's right. We were made righteous.
And he was made sin. And the scripture says that. We were made the righteousness of God in him.
Glory be to God. Hallelujah.
Now then. Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. There's not anything in our way. There's no sin in our way. There's no unrighteousness in our way. Unless you do not receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, then it is fully in your way. But can't stop you if you make Jesus the Lord of your life. If the devil if he could stop the new birth, he'd have killed you 30 seconds before it ever happened. He could have, but he couldn't.
May I just remind you of this? Ken and I have met serial killers,
mm-hmm.
who were then, when we met them, are now born again, made the righteousness of God, all is changed and forgiven. They're not even the same person anymore.
No.
They were born over again.
The only sin that will keep anybody out of heaven and send them to hell is not receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior.
Oh, the grace of God. Isn't it marvelous?
Any man's in Christ is a new creature. Old things have passed away and all things become new. God personally in Christ Jesus reconciling the world unto himself and not holding against them their trespasses has made us ambassadors of Christ, ministers of Christ, to let you know that he's not holding your sin against
you.
That's
right. It's awesome.
That's what this ministry is. That's what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5. Now, listen to this. Are you listening now?
Yeah.
Listen very, very carefully. Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances. He didn't just write paid in full across the curse note that was against us that Adam brought in on mankind. He didn't just say paid. It eradicated the ink on it.
There's no,
it's a blank page. Mm. There's no evidence that you ever sinned in heaven. And your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Isn't that marvelous? And when we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, even the righteous Jesus Christ, who is faithful and just to forgive us our sins when we confess them. It didn't say anything about begging him for forgiveness. The forgiveness was already there. But we receive it by faith, by confessing that sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Glory to God.
Isn't that a marvelous thing? All that happened right here. But hey, we ain't hit the good part yet. Listen to this. blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that were against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of our way, nailing it to the cross, Gloria, having spoiled.
Oh, yes.
What does the word spoiled mean? Take everything they got.
Completely do them in.
Yep.
That's right.
In the book of Hebrews, it said, and destroyed, completely paralyzed him that had the power of death, that is the devil.
To the victor belong
the spoils. He spoiled principalities and powers, and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it.
Yay. That's right.
Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Now, the scripture says he led captivity captive. He emptied out that area called paradise. What happened? When they saw him defeating Satan and all these principalities and powers who were drawn into hell in order to annihilate him once they got him in there, they didn't intend for him to ever get out. But had they known the principalities and the princes of this world would never have crucified the Lord of glory. But what happened while he was in that pit? He was born from sin to the righteousness of God in that pit of hell.
He was made to be sin for us.
Yes.
He took our sins, literally took our sins.
And then God said, that's enough. I'm satisfied. The price is paid.
Glory to God.
And the power of God by the Holy Ghost. And the scripture says the glory of God. He, the firstborn from the dead, he was made alive.
Yes.
In the spirit. His spirit man was made alive. He's born again. He's the first one.
Glory to God.
And then here come the second born, the third born, the fourth born.
Millions
of us, however many there's been.
Oh,
so
Jesus.
Now,
what a plan.
He led captivity captive. See, all of those were there on a promise. They saw the promise fulfilled right in front of their eyes. Don't you know David was tearing that balcony up? There's David and Abraham. And
yeah.
Abraham spoke to the rich man. And he was there, I mean, they're shouting, they're seeing this battle. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Jesus just kicked the slats out of him. And what were the spoils? The keys of hell and death. He took them.
Glory to God.
He took the keys.
That's something.
It has no power anymore.
Hallelujah.
And he came into this earth, took them into heaven, presented himself before God, and was judged the righteousness of God. Came into this earth.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. And said, you take my name. All power's been given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. Therefore, you go in my name. You preach the gospel. You lay hands on the sick. They'll recover. You cast out the devil, and I'll go with you, buddy. Amen.
Victory.
Victory. Victory.
Hallelujah.
Thank God who always gives us the victory in Christ Jesus, who always
right.
causes us to triumph. That's that very same triumph
that is
right there.
That's right. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
God. That's Yeehaw. Resurrection Day, and that's what we're celebrating
Hallelujah.
Today. We ain't celebrating bunnies or eggs
no.
or nothing that has to do with that Babylonian.
We celebrate life.
I don't dare say on Sunday what I'll think about that.
Just let her lay, buddy.
My God, glory, and I'll be back in just a moment.
I was a drug addict, alcoholic. Just kind of started out in high school. You know, when I was a kid, I started drinking when I was about 11. And started smoking weed when I was 14. And by the time I was 15, I was sticking needles in my arm. Got kicked out of college. That stuff, it just destroyed everything. Got here, found out I had a knack for business. Every business that I opened, it'd take off. That's probably one of the worst things that could happen to me because that was just fuel for my drug habits.
Kevin Alexander was on a road leading straight for destruction until one day, he made a U-turn.
I was going down the road one day, and I was training a guy to come to work for me. I had a 16th of cocaine in my front pocket and a bottle of whiskey in the front seat. He pointed at me, and he said, "You got a drinking problem." And I said, "Just when I run out." I said, "That's the only problem I got." But he said, "Did your wife leave you?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "How'd you know that?" He said, "The Lord told me." He said, "I'm here for one reason and one reason only. That's to introduce you to the Lord Jesus Christ." So he said, "When you're ready, pull this truck over." And I probably went about a half a mile down the road. And it was like somebody grabbed the steering wheel of that truck and yanked it over in a bar ditch. I said, "Let me see what this Jesus of yours has got." And we said a prayer. And I knew something on the inside of me clicked. I knew that my life would never be the same.
Kevin's life took a turn in the right direction that day. He began attending Eagle Mountain International Church and feeding on the teachings of Kenneth Copeland and pastors George and Terry Pearsons.
You don't have to climb your way up to the top of anything. He sets you in the body as it pleases him. And I'm telling you, that has happened to me over and over. Can you testify, church?
But the same way that I had that desire to go and party, to do the drugs, I then had the same desire for God's Word and to know Jesus. From the time I got saved, it was almost a year later that God restored my family, brought my wife home. I just got focused on Him. As my life changed, as I followed God, she just fell in and started following that. And that's how He restored it.
With Kevin's life turned around and his family restored, God's next direction for him was to launch out and bring others to their own life-changing encounter.
So I knew something on the inside of me. I knew I was called to ministry. And Pastor Terry, one night before all this started, Pastor Terry, she was speaking one night under the anointing of the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord said through her, "Pull your finances, pull your family together, and be ready. I'm calling you." I always tell people we're the hands and feet of Jesus. And if you see our food pantry downtown Fort Worth, it is just it's just a little ugly brick building. And we was able to feed over 21,000 people, get to share the gospel in there with them. Then we've got our church also that we have in Fort Worth. But I guess the main thing that he uses is these discipleship homes. The first thing we're going to teach them is about who they are in Christ, spirit, soul, and body. Now in phase two, that's when they start going out and doing more work with the ministry. So that's when you really start seeing these qualities develop. And then after that, then in phase three, that's the final 4 months, that's where we allow them to get a job. And if you can change the way a man sees himself, you can change his whole life.
It's not about what I've done in my past. It's not about what I can do for the Lord in the future. It's about what Jesus has done on the cross. And that is the only way that we can have victory in our life is if our focus is on the Lord, on Jesus.
God is no respecter of persons. If God will do it for one man, He'll do it for another. If God took my life and He turned around a drug addict, alcoholic, wife beater, mean, hurt more people in my life, you know, if He can do it for me, then He'd do it for anybody else.
Now that's exactly what I'm talking about. Kevin's running the street, I mean, all that dope and all that stuff. But if something had happened to him that cost him his life, it wouldn't have been the dope and whatever else he got into. I don't care how serious it was. That's not what would have sent him to hell. What would have sent him to hell is not knowing Jesus and not That's reconciling right. himself to God by accepting Jesus as his Lord and Savior.
He could have gone to church all of his life, been there every Sunday.
And been just as guilty as a dope addict.
He'd never made Jesus the Lord of his life.
That's the whole deal. Now, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth to righteousness, yes. and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And the Bible said Jesus died for the ungodly. That is everybody.
Everybody.
Now, Father, I pray for every person in the sound of my voice,
yes.
this entire radio and television audience. You pray this out loud. Right now, O God in heaven,
I believe with all my heart, You raised Jesus from the dead.
Settling this for me
forever.
Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
I call you my Lord.
I call you my Lord.
I reconcile myself to God.
I reconcile myself to God.
By receiving you as my Savior.
By receiving you as my Savior.
I repent of sin.
I repent of sin.
I renounce it.
I renounce it.
I renounce the devil and everything he stands for.
I renounce the devil and everything he stands for.
I renounce the past.
I renounce the past.
Fill me, Lord Jesus.
Fill me, Lord Jesus.
With your precious Holy Spirit.
With your precious Holy Spirit.
I receive him.
I receive him.
Now.
Now.
Into my life.
Into my life.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, Gloria and I want to help you here with this.
Yes.
If you prayed that with us today, I want to send you this little book, free and postpaid, to help you get started reading your Bible. A simple little brochure, how to study your Bible. This is not hard.
That's right.
You do need some leadership to get into it, and how to study it, and how to grow in it, and it'll be the most wonderful thing that ever happened in your entire life. Now, also, along with that, and this is for anybody that would like to have it, the force of righteousness. That, we'll pay the postage on it to get it to you. God bless you. God loves you. This is more than just talk.
This is reality.
This is life. This is the resurrected Lord of glory, and he did this for you and for me. Gloria, Jesus did not go to the cross to become a king.
No.
He already was.
That's right.
He went to the cross so we could become kings.
Now he's the King of kings.
He's the King of
kings. Oh, glory to God.
See you next time. This is Kenneth and Gloria reminding you, God loves you and we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For a DVD or CD copy of today's broadcast, go to kcm.org or call or write to us today. Remember to request your free mini book by Kenneth Copeland, The Force of Righteousness. It goes right along with today's teaching, so you'll want to be sure to get this free book. For faster processing, request your copy of The Force of Righteousness online at kcm.org. One per household, please. Offer good for 30 days. Celebrate the resurrection of Jesus today. I was on his mind. He knew me. Yet he loved me. He whose glory makes the heavens shine. Had me on his mind when he